Hi, I'm Dave Wolford, and you're listening to Driving the Future, the official podcast from Continental Express. Each month, I get joined by fellow drivers, operations staff, shop personnel, and we get to share stories and tips and on all things about truck driving. Good afternoon, Austin. How you doing?
Good. Good to see you.
Good, yeah. I think I met you a couple years ago at the company picnic. You guys came up and did a talk.
Yeah, this was a hot topic during that time, actually. I had a lot of feedback.
Yep, it absolutely was. And I guess there's still some drivers out there that I guess there's a lot of misinformation and a lot of questions about it. So just was really happy when they said you was willing to do this with me, because I just really like to get some good, solid information out there. Let's just kind of kick it off. Just going to the basics, like, engine brake, Jake brake, kind of what does it do? What's it for? How's it, give me the basics of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So engine brakes are designed to basically slow our driveline without using foundation brakes as a way to slow the truck. So one of the biggest problems that we have or have had in the past is drum brakes themselves. They experience a thing that's called brake fade. So as the truck is going down the backside of the hill, and we've got the momentum of the truck and gravity working with us, and then additionally the weight of that truck, as we start to apply our foundation brakes, what we're doing there is we're basically taking the energy of that truck and we're transferring the energy of that truck into them, the brake drums themselves. And that energy is in a form of heat. So those shoes push against the drum. And as that scenario happens, the drum, as it starts to heat up, if it starts to expand. Mm-hmm. And then if we use those foundation brakes too much, the brake effectiveness starts to go away, because it's all about getting that heat and that energy away from the drum, but it can only do it so quickly. So we had to come up with something. And when I say we, I'm talking all the way back into the early 1900s when they were developing heavy trucks and going down the back of the hill. There was a gentleman that was working actually with Cummins. His name was Jacobs. And Jacobs was one of the gentlemen that experienced a runaway circumstance where the brakes faded. He was stepping on the foundation brakes. The truck was not slowing. And they decided they needed to come up with a concept to slow that vehicle down without, really utilizing the foundation brakes. So what they did is a super simple concept. Actually, you've got a piston that runs inside of an engine. And as that piston goes up inside the engine, it compresses like an air compressor, compresses all that air. Yeah. And normally what we would do is we would use that compressed air and we would inject diesel fuel, and we would basically create a power stroke, and we would utilize that in a jaking application. Instead of powering the cylinder, what we're doing is we're compressing all of that air and using all of that energy of that cylinder as it compresses and slows down the rotation of the engine. And then at the very last second, we open an exhaust valve and we just vent all of that compressed air, and you get a popping sound. It's an example of what you hear. And it happens very quickly, and it fires off in sequence of the engine order. So what you'll hear is that brrr, or that... That noise that you hear is the jaking noise. And all we're doing is just taking the engine itself and using it as a compressor. And then we're maintaining our driveline. So our driveline has to be attached to our engine. So our wheels and the driveline, the transmission, everything has to be connected. So when that engine slows down, it slows the rotation of the tires down. It slows everything down. And it's essentially like using your foundation brakes. We're slowing the rotation of the tire, but instead of doing it with big shoes and linings, we're doing it with the engine, and we don't experience fade like you would in a normal brake operation.
Okay. So there's a hill descent mode, and I think that's where a lot of drivers are having trouble with the Jake brake. So, I was always told you if you're coming to a hill and you're ready to descend the hill, prior to getting to the hill, you need to drop the Jake brake lever down one notch into the, and then you set the cruise control, and then as it's going down a hill, you kind of hit the brake, and that kind of sets the speed, and now that's your hill descent. And now, what's the actual proper way to do it? And to keep the RPMs from getting out of control.
Yeah, great question. And to answer that question, I think it's important to understand the proper way by first explaining the improper way and what most of our
Okay.
drivers do. So I'm gonna rephrase your question a little bit to help me
Okay.
explain my answer. So when we have an automated transmission, a lot of our drivers say, "Oh, I know the truck does everything automated for me, and so I shouldn't have to really do anything with this truck." And that is absolutely the wrong way to look at it. The
That's
truck
right.
is automated, but we rely on the driver to do what's necessary to control that vehicle at all times. The truck is not the final decision. It's always the driver that's the final decision. And you have to give it good feedback to help that truck make the right decisions. So what we normally experience is we've got a driver that sets their cruise control, as an example, at 65 miles an hour. So this truck is driving at 65 miles an hour on flat ground, and now we're going to start to ascend a hill. And as we start to ascend that hill, as we're climbing the hill, my cruise control is still set at 65 miles an hour. As I continue to climb and I continue to go up that hill, my truck starts to lose road speed because the weight of the truck, gravity, all the factors that slow our truck down, we start to lose our RPM and we start to lose our road speed as we start to increase or climb that grade on certain grades based on our horsepower and other things, right? As we continue to climb that hill, our cruise control is still set to 65. The truck's intent is to go 65 all the way during that climb. But physics will not allow that scenario to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
So we start to slow. And as we continue to climb that hill, we start to fall down to 60 miles an hour. And there are going to be times where we start to downshift then. Because as we climb the hill, our RPMs start to fall. And we get to a low enough RPM that we decide, oh, we're going to go now from 12th gear, my top gear, we're going to drop that again. We're going to go down to 11th gear. And as we continue to climb, it may even drop down to 10th and lower than that. As we get to the very top of the hill, and in my scenario, let's say my truck is now doing 50 miles an hour. As we get to the
Nice
very
push.
top of the hill, right? We've lost some substantial speed here. So we're doing 50 miles an hour, and the whole time the truck is still trying to do 65 the whole way. Now we're going to start to descend the hill, right? We're going to start going down the backside.
And start picking up speed.
Well, the truck's naturally going to want to because it's still wanting to do 65. It's always wanted to do 65. The driver hasn't given the feedback to the truck in any way to change that scenario. So now we start going the backside of the hill and we start immediately gaining speed very quickly because now we've got gravity on our side, right? So we go 60, we go, 55, 57, 58, 50, 60, 64. We get to our 65 mile an hour road speed. And most of our trucks in cruise control have what we call a descent hysteresis in cruise. We never want our cruise control to be a set specific number, like 65 miles an hour, because what it would do is it would get to 65 and then it would apply the brakes and it'd get below and it would apply fuel and it would fight itself. So we have to have a variable there. Normally a couple miles an hour, and on the backside of the hill, we are actually 4 miles an hour over the set speed. So even though the truck's set at 65, we're going to allow that truck to go 4 miles an hour over the set speed. So now we're allowing the truck to go 69 miles an hour over on the backside of the hill. And then we hit that threshold of 4 miles an hour over our set speed. And then the truck decides, oh, I've now met my criteria. I need to apply the Jake brakes. So what the truck does then is it says, I'm going to initiate a downshift to get my RPMs as high as I can. The idea is the earlier conversation that we had was we're going to use pistons and we're going to use the pistons of the engine to, use that energy and escape that energy out the exhaust. So the faster the RPMs, the more effective my braking is. So we initiate a downshift and get that RPM all the way up to, and it will not go over 2200 RPMs, but it can go as high as 2200 RPMs by design. And at that point, we're going to start slowing the vehicle. The problem is it doesn't have enough energy to stop it at this point. We're doing 69 miles an hour down the hill. We do a downshift. The truck does this intentionally on its own. And then we go up to 2200 RPMs and we continue to gain speed. 70, 71. Now my driveline's locked to my engine. So now my wheels are actually driving the engine transversely. And so my RPMs continue to climb. Then we hit 2300 RPMs. You're going to get a check engine light. You're going to get a lot of beeping telling you overspeed. You're also probably going to get someone in safety that says, how are you doing 73 miles an hour in a truck that's not allowed to do that? We call that Kentucky overdrive, right? So, and the driver is just discouraged as all can be because what would the driver do to be in this scenario? Nothing. All they did was set their cruise to 65 and go up the hill.
And go,
So the driver didn't do anything really in my mind and in the mind of the driver, they didn't do anything wrong because they just put the road speed to 65 and drove the hill. And now all of a sudden, the truck's beeping at them, safety's calling them. Worst case scenario, the engine is ventilated. We got a big hole in our block and it's not warrantable. And the shop's not mad. Doug Subler's on the phone now. It's not a good day, right?
You got
And
it, yeah.
it's very hard to understand how did I get here? And the truth is, there's a simple concept that was trained years and years ago. You will always go down a hill. The best way to describe it, go down the hill at the same rate that you were able to climb the hill. So if you climbed that hill at 50 miles an hour, you should never go down the hill faster than 50 miles an hour. That's the easiest way to do it. Or go gear down. So if when you got to the very top of the hill, let's say you're in 10th gear as an example. If you gear down that and go down ninth, stay in ninth the whole way down. That's the easiest way to do that. But again, if you don't do anything, that truck's going to upshift 10th, 11th, 12th gear, pick up speed, and then decide, oh, I got to do something, and you've already lost your opportunity.
Yeah, at that point, you got 80,000 pounds barreling down the side of a mountain,
You got it. And
gotcha.
foundation brakes, like we talked about, the engine can't hold it back. The monster is out of the box now, right? Your foundation brakes, they're basically, as soon as you get on those brakes, they're going to overheat very quickly
Yeah,
now.
they're gonna overheat, start smoking, and then you're gonna lose them, and
Your
now
jakes
you're
can't hold you.
losing.
That's a very, very dangerous circumstance to be in.
Yeah, and
So
you're looking for an
that's
escape ramp at that
yeah, right.
point.
That's right. That's certainly, that's that oh no moment, right? Where you're going, what do I do? So we'll go back to the beginning of your question. What is the driver supposed to do? There's actually multiple things the driver can do. The driver can do it manually if he would like to. What's actually a really simple way to do it is as when you get to the very top of the hill, if you would like, as soon as you get to the top of the hill, now in my scenario, I was doing 50 miles an hour or 55, whatever I said. When I got to the top of the hill, if the driver just sets the cruise control at that point, right? It's going to change the new set speed from 65 now to
To
50.
50.
And so we won't go all the way to the 65 mile an hour rating, and then we go plus four. That's the other important thing. So even if I reset my cruise control to 60, know that we're going to go to 64 before we start initiating that brake, right? So
We're up on our trucks where we've got the where it tells you what your setting is for your cruise control. Right next to it, it's got a plus and a number, which mine has a three. So it means if I set it at 60, when I get to 68, the Jake brakes automatically come on.
that's perfect.
Yeah,
And
same thing.
it's exactly what it is, David. And when you're looking at that, a lot of times you'll see plus three minus two right beside it. Or sometimes it'll just say plus three, right? That is exactly what we're talking about. It will go 3 miles an hour over the set speed before the Jake will automatically go into effect.
Yeah,
So,
and that just helps with the momentum shift because you're pulling so much weight with
yes.
the yeah. So,
And
okay.
it's also free fuel economy. The reason we do that is two reasons, right? If I can get a little extra road speed and I don't need fuel to do that, That's great for the company. We can save some fuel. The end of the year, you know, we can get better bonuses, maybe a little nicer Christmas party, all of those things, right? So that's the purpose. That's the idea there. So if we want to keep that, but we don't want that in a downward jaking circumstance, that's where it's really not beneficial. It works really nice on rolling hills. That's where it works good at. But it, and long steep grades, not a great scenario. So the driver could do something as simple as resetting his cruise control to set speed that he's at the top of the hill, you know, setting it there, but know that that plus three is going to take an effect. It really shouldn't affect it too much. But at that point, that truck is going to do everything that it needs to do to maintain its current cruise control setting plus 3 miles an hour over that. That's going to be your key. Now, that's okay, but I want to be more specific with my cruise control. I want to be able to lock in a specific number and not have that plus three. That's descent control. That's the expert level, if you will. So how do we do that? The first thing I always get a driver tell me is I cannot set my cruise control while my jake is on. That is 100% correct. That is the right response because exactly correct. How do I use cruise control and apply brakes at the same time? It doesn't make sense.
You're
Right.
telling your truck's telling you're telling the truck two different things.
Exactly. So when you're on flat ground and you've put your jake in level one as an example, right? You're going to basically pause cruise. It's going to be jaking at that time. Cruise is going to be paused. And then as soon as you put that jake back into the off position on the shift selector, it's going to automatically resume your previous set speed. That is standard cruise control operation. Jake activation pauses cruise. That's how it works. So when your jake's on, cruise is paused at that point. Now, descent control. There's another step to this process. When your jake is on, your cruise is now paused. It's how it works. So as soon as you put your jake on, your cruise is paused. If you do actually hit set on your cruise control, what that's going to do is basically set a descent control road speed that's going to only be utilized going on the back side of the hill. So you actually have to be going down the hill to utilize this feature. Because if you're on flat ground and my jake is on, first thing I'm going to be doing is losing road speed. Because the jake will be doing its job like it's supposed to, and gravity's not pushing me at that point. So as soon as I put my jake on, my road speed starts to slow, and descent control is basically just keeping the brakes at that speed. But if we're slowing down, it's not going to work. You have to have momentum and gravity pushing you to make this concept make sense for the truck and actually to function appropriately. So, scenario, back to our beginning scenario. We just crest the top of the hill and we're starting to go down the back side of the hill. The driver's going to reach down and set his jake brake. And when he sets his jake brake, the jake will start to come on. And it does not have to be in any position. It can be in level three, two, or one. It doesn't matter at all. Okay. So all he's got to do, he or she, all they have to do is put that truck in the jake position and then set the cruise once again. And that eliminates that plus three. It's going to hold that at the speed that you set at. In our scenario, we'd like to have it set at 50. And that truck is going to do a wonderful job, and it'll go from third to second to first and shuttle off, do whatever it needs to do to keep your speed going down the hill at that exact 50 miles an hour. And it's smooth as silk. Now, let's say you did it wrong, and it's actually a little bit more, it's a little faster than we'd want. So our jakes are on and we're jaking away, but we're still creeping 51, 52, and the truck can't hold it. That's okay, right? All you're going to do is reinforce the brakes, the jake brakes with foundation brakes. So slow that truck utilizing your foundation brake, get your road speed. Let's get it down to, let's say maybe we need to be more like 45, and then reset your descent control at 45, and it'll hold it a lot easier because the momentum of the truck is slower. Does that make sense?
And that's usually I drive through the mountains every day.
Right.
I've been doing it for many years, and I'm always fully loaded. And that's basically what I do. As soon as I crest the hill, is I'll use the jakes, but I also use the foot brake, to get the speed set where I want. And then I've got that plus three where the jake brake kicks in, Because my mindset is always, a lot of this safety stuff is wonderful, but if you
Right.
don't want to put your bet your life on it, it's great to use. It's great information to have if you know how to use it correctly. But you should
Right.
always, 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 you should be driving the truck, not letting it drive you.
Absolutely.
So
And
that's.
we do not design the truck as a replacement to the driver. All of our systems are all considered assistance systems. They are not replacement systems. And they're not perfect. And I've never said that to anyone that don't worry about it. My truck will take care of it for you. The truck is going to give you inputs and it's going to assist you, but I promise you, there is nothing better than you as the driver to give the right inputs in every scenario. As good as we are at understanding technology and building these trucks, we're not as good as our professional drivers. We're just not. But for that reason, we need inputs to make sure it's safe. And at the end of the day, truth be told, it's the driver's responsibility to maintain safe equipment. It's not the truck's. We don't call it collision. We don't call it collision avoidance. We call it collision mitigation for legal reasons, for a reason, right?
You got
It
it.
makes sense.
Okay, so what are some of the you brought it up we're kind of talking about it with some people knowing how to control the truck, others going, well, the truck does it for me. It's a What are some of the misconceptions of drivers have with the Jake brake, and the Freightliners? Like, what are some of the things you've run into as far as like some of the misconceptions or some of the far out things that,
Sure. Well, I can tell you that there's a couple different things that I get feedback from drivers, and I understand it. If we don't do a good job explaining how these systems work, perception is reality for everyone, right? What I understand is my reality. So if it's not explained to me, and I can promise you, I wasn't born with this information either. I had to sit through it. Somebody had to teach me. I physically had to put my bottom in one of these trucks to reinforce exactly how this works. For me to, really understand where we're at. And that's the thing that I want to make sure that we do a good job explaining to those drivers, what are you experiencing and why? So I can tell you for sure, collision mitigation systems is one of those things that is really, it's really a confusing thing for a lot of our drivers on, why did the truck interact? Why did it do what it did? When we get Jake brake activation, was that because of a collision mitigation event, or was that because of what we call adaptive cruise control? And adaptive cruise control will actually apply engine brakes when needed to slow your vehicle down to maintain a safe following distance. And again, that scenario can happen in a downhill descent, and you're wondering why your Jake brakes came on. And the reason your Jake's brakes came on is, again, because you're in cruise control and the vehicle in front of you may apply the brakes. And now your truck is going to apply engine brakes as needed. And that can also put you into an overspeed. So
I've
those are
actually had
things.
that happen a couple of times where, I said somebody comes across me going down a hill, and all of a sudden it wants to downshift because it wants to hold that distance as well as to maintain the
That's right.
speed. And now all of a sudden I'm going, oh, here goes the RPM shooting up, and that gets,
Yes.
and then you're like, it's, uh-oh. So.
That's one of those where, you can get pushed into an overspeed, even doing all the right things because somebody jumped in front of your truck and now it initiated something that the actual driver in front of you initiated,
Yeah,
right?
you've got no control over that guy, yeah.
You've got no control over that guy. So, it's important to understand, your vehicles around you, the objects around you, making sure that you maintain safe distances and making sure that you're keeping an eye on them. And if it looks like they may jump ahead of you, it's a good idea to slow down your truck. That way, if they do, you don't get that overspeed. Because again, overspeeds are always going to be on a momentum basis. Our truck will never put you over 2200 RPMs on its own. It has to have some outside factor doing that. And the only true outside factor, other than a runaway, where we've got some uncontrolled fuel source basically feeding my engine that causes it to basically increase. Anything beyond that is going to be gravity pushing it, and the wheels are driving your engine, other than your engine driving your wheels. Another misconception is I'm only going to get over speeds in all of the big hills of Colorado, and I've got to be in the Rockies or whatever that scenario may be. That's the only time I'm going to experience overspeeds. That is absolutely not correct. You can get overspeeds on even the smallest of hills. You can get overspeeds at 13 miles an hour. And all of that will be based on your engine braking and also the grade of the hill. So it is important to understand what the truck's doing and when it's appropriate to apply those engine brakes. And what is your speed at that time based on your momentum? Because, like I said, you can have an engine overspeed at 13 miles an hour based on your grade. And if it's a steep enough grade and you're heavy enough and you initiate a downshift, 13 miles an hour could potentially be too fast in that circumstance. So be prepared. And the other thing to know is our engines are tough. They really are. And overspeeds will happen to some degree. It's almost inevitable. If you're driving the truck, those circumstances are going to happen in certain scenarios where we apply the brakes, somebody pulls in front of you, like I was talking about, things that are outside of your control, and the truck is going to do what it needs to do, but it can handle it. What it can't handle is a multitude of these overspeeds or very, very high overspeeds. And we track all that information within what we call our DDEC reports. And there's levels of severity. So think of it like, we'll call it your blood pressure, right? And if you have historically high blood pressure all the time, you're going to be in trouble.
You
But
got problems.
you're going to have some problems, and you got to minimize that best you can and do whatever you need to do to minimize that. But every so often, if your blood pressure increases, it's not the end of the world. It's just you want to make sure that you are doing everything that you can to minimize those. And we run reports. We have that ability. We can see every time that truck gets over 2,500 RPMs, it logs a fault. When that little light comes on, it sends a report. And then we can look at that information, and I can compare that to, your other drivers in your fleet and say, Unit 15 had 13 overspeeds in the last month, and everybody else had an average of 0.2. So in that scenario, we would easily be able to, identify. And then a lot of times when we're in those circumstances, when I talk to any of my drivers, they it's training. They're as frustrated as Stoops and as Continental. All it's they're not doing it intentionally, and that's where driver training is important. So I will tie into that piece, and I'll tie that into another response. I always recommend what we call the Freightliner Smart Source app. So if you utilize an Android or an Apple phone, whether it be the iStore or Google Play, whatever you may have, you can download Freightliner Smart Source, and we've got an app that you download, and you can basically type in the last six of your VIN. Your VIN, the easiest place to find your VIN is on the driver's side door jamb. You're going to take the last six of the VIN, you're going to put it into that Smart Source app, Freightliner Smart Source. And then what it will do is it will give you short videos. They're not long, a minute and a half, 2 minute videos. And they actually will show you how to utilize the scent control, what it looks like on the dash. How do I navigate that? We haven't talked about this, but what is creep mode and how does creep mode work? What is Detroit Assurance and collision mitigation and roll stability, and how do I check the engine oil? We have videos that the drivers can watch and actually see that video, and it's only going to be specific to your truck. So I'm not going to show you videos on something that you may not have, right? That's why we utilize the last six of the VIN. And it has everything to do with interior features. How do I turn on sleeper lights? The driver's manual's in there also, an electronic version of the driver's manual. All of this information that I'm sharing with you is all in that Smart Source app. If the driver doesn't have access to that, another one that's really good is Freightliner.com. All they got to do is go to Freightliner.com. About halfway down the page, you will find driver training material, And it's basically the same as the app that's available for your smartphone. I highly recommend the drivers watch those videos and take a look at that for driver training.
Okay, maybe we can put a link on there for people to do that. Because I know when I first got my newest truck, they gave me a list of videos they wanted me to watch, and it was those videos, and they were, a lot of them were commonsensical from driving for years. I knew what it was already, but some of the stuff like the downhill descent and creep mode, things like that, yeah, those were very helpful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we should put a link on there. So that drivers, when they watch this, they can maybe go right to it. So, let's wrap it up by let's talk about RPMs. Doug asked me to ask you about RPMs. Like, okay, 2100 RPMs, I'm beautiful. What happens if I hit 23 RPMs?
So what we get is what we call valve float. So when we get into 2300 RPMs or higher, and 2200 RPMs is the maximum that our truck will ever do on its own. And that's up there. That's up against the red. So don't be alarmed if you ever see the truck bounce up to 2200 RPMs. That's okay. But 2300 RPMs and beyond, that's when it's actually 2500 RPMs. We're going to start initiating our fault codes. And then as we keep going up, our severity of the fault increases. As we get into those circumstances, what happens is the valves themselves, there's valves that move up and down, and there's some real small springs in there. That's a big engine. It's actually some pretty stout springs in reality, but they're only as good as the designed function of that spring. So the faster the RPMs go, the quicker the springs start to go up and down, and then we experience what we call valve floating. And we can release that spring, but by the time we release it, we're pushing it down, and the valve actually cannot reseat. And then what happens is there's this thing called a piston, and it gets to meet its good friend, the valve, and it's never actually got to meet that valve. And when that happens,
Bad things happen.
we can see through the engine, and these engines are not cheap. And that is the real concern here. And the reason we allow the engines, and I get that, why do you allow the engines to run that over speed? Well, it's a safety issue. If I've got to pick between an engine in my driver's life, I'd rather blow my engine up and continue to brake when needed than say, oh no, this engine is more important. So I'm going to put it in neutral while you're going down the back of the hill to not blow up this engine. We will not do that. So for that reason, we will allow the engine to basically eat itself. And that's why it's very important to know RPMs is all the factor here. You do not want to be above 2200 RPMs. That's the no-go zone. And what's nice too is there's on your RPM gauge, you can see that there's a nice red indicator there. It helps you. And then you'll see it too, because check engine lights are going to go off. It's going to start beeping. And the first thing I want you to do in that circumstance, get on that service brake and slow that vehicle down. You need to use foundation brakes at that point.
At that point, you've got nothing else left. So,
You've got,
all right.
yeah.
Well, Austin, this has been great. It's been great information, and I hope I want to thank you very much for taking your time to do this with us, and hopefully this will help out many long-term and brand new drivers have a better understanding of some of these systems. And I will definitely push to have a look at those videos.
Yeah.
That's huge because I didn't even think about that because I've had my truck for quite a few years now. But yeah, when I first got it, they had me go through and watch a bunch of those videos, and
Sure.
seems like forever ago. And I, but yeah, you bringing it up, it's like, you know what?
It's always good, and it's always good to re-educate yourself too, especially, like you say, it's not easy. These trucks are not easy anymore. And yeah, I want to rephrase it. It never was easy. And we try to simplify, and just like all technologies, sometimes when you feel like you close a door, there's two more behind that
There's two.
door. And it just, It's complicated. So yeah, definitely take the time to watch the video. And I want to take a second too to thank all the drivers out there. We appreciate the heck out of them. Without drivers, we know what would be the result of that. I think the last thing I heard, I think we have about 12 hours before we would start seeing the effects if all the drivers stop biking. So we over at Stoops appreciate everything that you guys do. And yeah, we can't thank you enough. And at any time, please reach out to us. If we'd be more than happy to do more of these. I love the opportunity to do the driver training meetings or, you know, an event, whatever there is. I have no problems taking it on the chin from some drivers. It's the least I can do. So yeah, I appreciate everything that you do also.
Right. Well, thank you very much for your time. Thanks for your kind words and information. And we'll talk to you soon in the future.
All right, be safe out
All
there.
right. All right. Thanks, Austin.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks. All right. Bye-bye.